There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Like old friends, eight seniors get together. Round four. Lawrence with the rush coming. Finds T. Higgins. Touchdown.
That kid cannot be 19 years old.
The Tigers reclaim their crown by crushing Alabama.
What a performance by Clemson last night. Closing time for the college football season, and they've left Andre Ware and Brock Huard and I in charge of putting up the stools and unplugging the jukebox here on College Football Live. We talked about it. An incredible performance by Clemson, guys. Only three of our experts actually picked the Tigers to beat Bama in that national championship game. So no revisionist history here where you could say, I was one of them. Not just three. What is the thing for you, Brock, that stood out most about last night's 44-16 win by the Tigers?
Yeah, Jane, I'm going to say two things on each side. I think for Clemson that Trevor Lawrence is just not human. You know, Dre and I played that position. We were one time in our lives freshmen in college, true freshmen. And the fact that that he made that look so easy last night against an Alabama team in a front seven that was loaded with NFL guys, that was in his face, that was hitting him at times. That kid is just not a human being. And I'll tell you on the other side, for me, is just Nick Saban. He was just a different Nick Saban on the sideline last night. And I don't know if he looked out at a fight and said, my fighter is just not ready. But, you know, it was the week before where he shattered headphones and he's throwing his headsets and he is in just such frustration. And it's kind of in a constant state of frustration as all of us have been around him for a decade or so. And last night it was almost just a resign. The arms folded just kind of across the chest time and time and time again. And I guess credit really to Clemson for taking him out of that game.
Yeah, for me, Jen, it was with two former signal callers on the show today. Obviously, it's the quarterback play. And the guy that I thought would be rattled wasn't. Trevor Lawrence, as Brock described, was just unflappable last night. He made throw after throw, and I mean big-time throws, throughout this ball game. And Tua, at times, seemed to feel the pressure, started to press. He's a guy I felt like would have the experience, having played in a national championship game last year. The errors, the pick six to start it off. He came back. He bounced back from that. But there were other in another interception, a fumble in this game. He looked flustered at times where he started to press a little bit more. So it was certainly that for me. And then credit Dabo Swinney going way back and making this change to get to Trevor Lawrence, knowing that he would perform on this type of stage was just unbelievable.
We've heard so much about that Clemson defense, and I was expecting the front to be impressive. But what really impressed me the most was the way they were disguising those defenses all over the field. They're showing man at the line in cover two. Nope, just kidding. Now we're in cover three. It seemed to get to Tua Tagovailoa at times in the game, Brock.
Well, I don't think there's any question about that, Jen. And, you know, a lot was made, and Andre just talked about it, that decision at quarterback with Trevor Lawrence. But don't kid yourself. This offseason, this winter, this spring, it was more than just a quarterback decision. They were going to beat Alabama. They knew schematically, defensively, that they had to confuse, that they had to frustrate, that they had to have multiple looks ready. I am sure there were blitzes last night that Tua and Nick had not seen all season long, that it was in the tank getting ready for these guys to jump routes, to disguise pre and post snap, as you referenced there. Yeah, it was a masterful plan by Brent, and then ultimately, even better, Andre, execution by that defense.
Yeah, and you know as well as I, when you can get pressure without having to blitz, when it's just the four guys up front, especially from the middle portion of the defensive line, where that's in your face right away, it's hard to see. It's hard to make throws. And Tua's not the biggest guy in the world. So if you're getting pressure from the middle, the DT's getting pressure, that's where it's tough. And now you start to disguise it where their guys aren't there that were there, and now they're gone. Different things of that sort. It confused Tua a little bit last night. You could see it throughout his play, especially in the second half.
The 44 points.
Yeah, and Dre,
Alabama has allowed this season.
Jen.
Go ahead, Brock.
Well, I just think that first pick, that first disguise was the biggest of all of them. Because if you're in a boxing ring and you are expecting one thing and all of a sudden you get hit to a jaw with something you've never expected. When you drive a lane in basketball and you're like, man, I didn't see that guy coming over. Or the first time you hit your wedge out on the golf course on the first hole and you shank it, you know, those things affect you. And I thought that first time that DB jumped that little out route, and that was not his job, and he's not supposed to do that. But he took that risk to do it. And I really thought that bloodied the decision-making from that point forward for Tua in that offense.
The point's not the only thing that Clemson was so good at. The yards as well. Alabama hadn't given up that many yards all season long. With their win in the College Football Playoff National Championship, Clemson finishes the season 15-0 for the season. And of course, guys, it's the first time that a team has gone undefeated in the playoff era. They are the fifth team in major college history to post a season of 15 wins or more. But the other teams you see there, they were back in the 1800s. So there are a couple of narratives that I've heard surrounding this game. There are some people who have said that Clemson just went out there and snatched victory. They wanted it and they just took it. There are other people that say Alabama gave this away. A lot of errors early on, some penalties, terrible on third down. So obviously one of the big things was the fake field goal people are talking about. That was in the early third quarter, 4th and 6. They were down 15 points at the time. Let's hear from Nick Saban on why he went with that call.
I think it was a poor decision on my part not to kick the field goal, you know, the first drive of the second half. We thought we had a really, really good fake, and somebody didn't block the guy they were supposed to block, so it didn't work. So it was a bad call.
Somebody didn't do their job, so it was a bad call. Interesting Sabanisms there. How are you assessing this, Brock? Chalking it up to a bad call or poor execution?
Yeah, that was a terrible call. That play would not have worked against Puyallup High School. You know, that you can't run a lead with your kicker. That's an ISO run play that you use a fullback on or a defensive lineman by some programs. Alabama, Clemson, both take defensive linemen and run them through the line of scrimmage. Not a kicker. He didn't even know how to hit, who to hit, why to hit anybody. So, no, I thought just from a play call, it's a safe defense. The execution, when you draw that one up on paper, I don't think I run that on 4th and 1, Andre, let alone 4th and 6. So I did not like any aspect of that play.
Yeah, I'm in total agreement with you on that one, partner. I was scratching my head from the time the ball was snapped and all of a sudden the holder or the you see the ISO play coming, so to speak. And I'm like, where in the world, who thought of this one? It's one of the worst play calls. And in terms of design, if you're going to fake it, you know, come up with something a little bit more creative. But from a design standpoint, it was just terrible. I mean, you talked about it, the kicker being the lead blocker. And all of a sudden you got the backup quarterback running the football with no option of throwing it. Clemson wasn't fooled at all. I'm in agreement. A good high school team would have stopped this one.
You're seeing Niles Pickney there. I don't think that'll be a name that those guys are going to forget anytime soon. But you know who actually might have liked this play? I was thinking about this last night. Kirby Smart. Because all of a sudden people might be forgetting about that fake punt that he ran in the SEC championship game. Everybody talking about the fake field goal by Nick Saban. And why, when you see the way that they lined up, guys, why do you call timeout and change the play? It was baffling to me that there was no real, it seemed like, urgency as that play went on. All right, much more to come here on College Football Live. Clemson, of course, with 2 titles in the last 3 years, 4 straight seasons in the College Football Playoff. We're not ready to use the D word yet with Clemson, dynasty, but we know that they aren't the ROI either. What did the outcome of this game tell you about the college football landscape, Trey?
Well, it told me that it shifted last night, that, you know, all of a sudden you got a heavyweight champion in the middle of the ring. It's undefeated, and he got hit, and he's never been hit like that before. And it's going to have ramifications across the board, in my opinion. All of a sudden, kids want to go play for the cool coach, the coach that dances in the locker room. He's already getting 5-star athletes. But when you put up this type of performance, the way Clemson went about their business last night, it changes things. It changes everybody going to Alabama. Now, all of a sudden, and he's been doing it since he's been there, but Dabo's putting guys in the NFL as well. So that can't be sold anymore. So I think that there's some, there's a great deal of real estate that's been made up by Clemson going forward. I won't say dynasty yet, but they're going to get into that conversation in the next couple of years.
Yeah, I think like Drago, when he got bloodied, he does bleed. He is human. You lose by 28. But in the polls next year, instead of being number one for Alabama, now they might be number two. I think that's about as far as they'll drop heading into next season.
It is crazy, though, because they certainly are up and coming. And as you stated, you saw guys on the stage last night making a recruiting pitch. Winning certainly is the best thing that you can do to get recruits in. It's not so bad when you got a guy sticking his wet finger in the coach's ear and he doesn't even flip, right? He doesn't even phase him. That's somewhere that kids definitely want to go. All right, we will continue here on College Football Live. But first, SportsCenter tonight after North Carolina and North Carolina State with Bucci and Anderson. Our NBA draft expert Mike Schmitz breaking down Zion Williamson's NBA future, plus how the Colts D preps for Mahomes, and the Chiefs D gets ready for Luck. And Reese Davis will have a conversation with national champion Dabo Swinney. When we return, the aforementioned national champ, Dabo Swinney, will dive into his future next.
College Football Live is brought to you by Advil. You'll ask, what pain with Advil?
Dabo Swinney has brought a ton of success to Clemson. He has 8-10 win seasons and 2 titles in his 11 years. All other Clemson head coaches, guys, have 7-10 win seasons combined and just 1 title. Let's hear from the winning head coach.
I don't think that we went into the game thinking we were going to beat Alabama by 4 touchdowns. It just kind of went that way. That it was our night, and we got control of the game. And sometimes when I've been on both sides of it, you know, sometimes when you get momentum rolling like we were able to get it, and just the energy all channeled in the right direction, it can kind of be insurmountable. And that's what happened last night. I mean, it was just kind of an overwhelming collective effort by our group. We're as good a program as there is out there, but we're a long way from a dynasty. I think from a dynasty standpoint, you know, Alabama's kind of in a category of their own. I told Coach Saban last night, he was very gracious after the game, and I just told him, I said, see you next year, because I don't think they're going to go anywhere. They'll be back.
Listen, guys, Nick Saban doesn't lose very often, except when it comes to coaches on his staff. The Tide will have a new OC for 2019 as Mike Locksley moves on to become the head coach of Maryland. Who knows who he's going to take with him? And this, of course, is a consequence of success. When you're good, everybody wants to snatch the guys who are on your staff, see if they can get a little piece of that Saban magic. Is the turnover, Dre, catching up with Alabama?
Oh, I think so. I think it's when it happened last year, that it was just a matter of time before it started, because you have different play callers. Though it may be the same system, you're going to call plays differently. Guys have different ways of recruiting, so on and so forth. But if I'm Coach Saban, if I'm a head coach of any program, and a guy takes a job and he's ready to leave, and he's going to become a head coach, go ahead and go, because I think it's impossible. There's no knock against Mike Locksley. I view him as a friend in this business, but I think there's too much on your plate to handle, trying to recruit, trying to put a staff together, trying to put together a game plan to go win the national championship. It's just too much, Brock.
Yeah, it makes it very difficult. There's no question about it, Jen. And to answer, you know, your question and to catch up to you, there's no question it did. I mean, it's just constant every single year. It's D coordinator, D coordinator, D coordinator. It's offensive coordinator, offensive coordinator, offensive coordinator. So was that the difference last night? No, there is no way that I would believe that that was the difference. I think the difference is a lot of what we talked about earlier of Trevor Lawrence and Clemson's defense and getting Tua's head and eyes just scrambled. But as far as just the continuity, look and compare and contrast, and I know we will, of what Clemson has done keeping their staff, and Alabama quite the opposite. Yeah, and I think in time, that makes it really difficult.
And this isn't to say that they don't do this at Alabama, but they pay their guys at Clemson. Take a look at this. Brent Venables has been Clemson's defensive coordinator since 2012. This past season, $2.2 million is what he brought home for that gig. That was as much or more than 8 head coaches in the Power Five. Why do you guys want to stay at Clemson? We even heard from Jeff Scott recently, whose name was mentioned, I think, in the Miami conversations for coordinator. And he says, I'm not going to another place to be a coordinator now. Maybe if a head coaching job opens up. But why is it important for these guys to stay at Clemson, Dre?
I think it's just the lifestyle, number one. The family loves being there, at part of the university. And then working for a guy that you can respect, you can trust, you believe in, and you see the same vision that he has for the program. Because if it weren't that way, trust me, there were guys that would be lining up or ready to get out of town. But Brett loves the environment. I don't know that there's a better job right now that he could go get that he's going to enjoy, and his family loves it. So I think it's that simple, that he's compensated well for the lifestyle he lives, and he wants to be a defensive coordinator at this point. There are tons of programs that would sign up to have him.
You know, it was last spring I was out there for the spring game, Jan, and it was amazing talking about just the program. And Cleveland Farrell, their D lineman, said something to me I will never forget. He said, you know what? Other programs use guys. They use and abuse. At Clemson, you get molded. And I don't think that's just the players. I think it's these coaches as well. They know what they have. They get shaped. They get molded. They get every resource imaginable. And I think it's a big reason why they're not looking to leave anytime soon.
Yeah, and who can turn down an opportunity to go down that slide every once in a while, right? If you could end your workday going down the slide, wouldn't you? I know I would. Let's take a look at our Progressive Bowl Challenge Cup, guys. Conference USA finishes bowl season with the best winning percentage of any conference, as they won four of their six bowl games. The ACC, SEC both register six bowl wins, while the MAC only got a single win in their six bowl games. Still to come on College Football Live, we're going to take a look back at the best college football images of 2018.
Heineken. Enjoy Heineken responsibly.
Our Women's Hoop Thursday Night Showdown has number one Notre Dame hosting number two Louisville at the Joyce Center. That's at 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN and, of course, on the ESPN app, so you can watch it anywhere. Dre and Brock, thank you so much for hanging out here on College Football Live. We'll leave you now with the images of the year.
This is why you work so hard. Men, be confident as you go out. It is going to take all of us to get this thing done. Men, be not afraid. Do not be afraid to be elected.
Oklahoma can upset Texas.
Are you kidding me with that?
Spectacular one-handed catch.
That's catch of the year.
Lawrence, he is not getting up. Chase Rice.
What a throw!
All I do is my job.
Touchdown, Ohio State.
That's one of the best wins I've ever been a part of.
And the kick is good. This football game is over.
Loves their school more than Purdue student Tyler Trenum.
Tyler, this one is for you.
Dark days coming up all night. All of them know it's gonna be.
Your inspiration to the
song.
Here at Maryland Stadium, the team has said they are dedicating this season to the legacy of the late Jordan McNair.
Tyler Helensky, quarterback who lost his life. His teammates continue to remember him.
Put all of my faith into my...
Senior night, the most inspirational member of this class is Jake Olson, and he's just beginning to inspire folks around the world with his courage.
I know it's gonna be all right.
gosh, I feel amazing.
Tua steps up. He sees an opening. Touchdown! Aloha! And that was huge, preserving the shutout.
The revenge tour has officially commenced.
Sent right away by Chase Winovich.
Now, I give a rat's ass about Twitter.
Alex Spanos is about to become an internet sensation. What in the world was that?
Is that the play that will seal the playoff bid for Fighting Irish?
Tyler plays him down the far sideline. You know he
loves it. 2-point try here in overtime for Maryland to go for the win. Pigra crank fires in the end zone. Incomplete. Ohio State will win it on an unsuccessful 2-point try.
This one might not be over just yet. Game on the line.
Go, 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 go.
Rodgers in the slot.
Got it. The Aggies win the game of the year.
Harris Campbell makes it to the house.
Action in a bright light.
We are watching a Michigan implosion. Tua is not getting up. Jalen Hurts quickly begins to warm up on the sideline. Wouldn't this be quite the role reversal?
Running, running, running.
Touchdown, Jalen Hurts.
I'm so proud of the guy. For what he's done this year, I can't even tell you.
Heisman Trophy is awarded to Kyler Murray.
4 weeks of build-up and hype. Now it's about to become a reality for these teams.
One-handed for a touchdown!
And the Clemson Tigers are off to their third national championship game.
Tua gets it. Touchdown, Alabama! Bama wins! Are you ready for round four, Alabama and Clemson? It's intercepted! A.J. Terrell with a pick six! It's a shovel pass in the middle. Tigers on.